November 5th, Wednesday, 2008. We're here to receive testimony and presentation on part of an LC draft that we asked to be drafted last meeting that would create a advisory board or an oversight board or the Oregon State Hospital. That draft has been completed in the form of LC 14869. And I would like to ask the Superintendent Orr if he would come forward, please, and present the draft. Please don't read it word for word or anything like that, but present it in some general way sufficiently so those of us here who wish to question you in comment or criticize may do so. Thank you, Superintendent Orr, for coming here today. Would you like to proceed now? Please, of course, identify yourself on the record. Tell us who you are and where you are. And all cell phones should be turned off now immediately.
Thank you, Co-Chair Courtney. Can you hear me okay? Members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Roy Orr. I'm the superintendent of Oregon State Hospital. At this committee's direction at its last meeting in September, we were asked to put the legislative concept together in anticipation of a committee-sponsored piece of legislation that would establish the advisory board for the state hospital and continue to provide oversight perhaps after this committee concluded its business. I think you have before you LC 1469, which includes three sections. Basically, Section 1 lays out the membership of an 11-voting member board with two members of the legislature from each of the houses. Section 2 talks about the terms of those members, and Section 3 goes into the kinds of duties the advisory board would consider and participate in on behalf of the hospital. At Co-Chair Courtney's direction, I won't walk through every line item of the bill in front of you. I would say just a few words about the process. Again, at the direction of this committee at its last meeting, we assembled a small work group that was comprised of Megan Cahay, a consumer and advocate from Benton County, who at this committee's last meeting submitted a letter on the record in support of this concept and was unable to attend today because of previous commitments that she had in Benton County. The work group was also attended by Mr. Bob Jundeff, the Executive Director of Disability Rights Oregon, formerly OAC here in Oregon. Mickey Logan, U.S. or Oregon DOJ, was also a participant in the process along with hospital staff, including myself. We met on several occasions after the initial draft of LC 1469. We met again and then submitted this information to Mr. Berkobian, which brought us here today. There's been fairly extensive participation from the advocate and consumer community, which I'm proud to say, and you can tell by the membership under Section 1 that there's significant representation from the former patients, consumers, and the advocate community on this advisory board. With those comments, I'll stop and see what questions you might have for me.
Okay. I would like to ask now if members of our committee have questions or comments. Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Senator Co-Chair. What question? Did you have any discussion about geographical representation? I'm looking at the healthcare professionals so that they're not all coming from one area of the state.
We did, Senator Winters, members of the committee. We did, in fact, have that discussion. We did not specify in language in LC 1469 that kind of language, but it would be significant among our considerations in terms of bringing forward names to be appointed. And, of course, one of the things that was part of our consideration was the Junction City site and a southern site for Oregon State Hospital in the future. But, yes, that was considered.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Please feel free to do so.
Because we also have had the discussion about not in my neighborhood and also the discussion that we're having other parts of the state to recognize the need for a residential treatment and that, I would think that it would add to that particular objective if we did have some way of specifying in the legislation that we would like consideration for statewide. If all of our professionals are only coming from Portland and the Valley, I don't think we get that the objective that we're trying to reach.
I would not disagree at all with that, Senator Winters, or members of the committee. We can, at your pleasure, certainly specify more the geography issues that you've raised in the LC 1469, if you wish.
Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Orr, can you tell me under Section 3, Subsection 2, Line 17, what was the conversation that went into may make recommendations directly to the superintendent of the Oregon State Hospital and Director of Human Services? Why the permissiveness as opposed to shall?
There was no strong feelings about shall. Senator Carter, members of the committee, that's the best answer I can give you. There was no feelings that should be worded any more strongly than that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, it appears to me, since we are under federal injunction, this is not the first time that this has happened, and we have gone a long period of time without any recommendations from anybody as to why we're in the condition that we are in today. And it's going to cost us so much more money to try to get caught up and stay up with the kind of services that needs to be paid attention to at the hospital. I'm going to feel much more comfortable, and this is not a reflection on the present administration nor the board, but after being here for 24 years and seeing how the hospital is on and off the map without appropriate services and without appropriate knowledge of the legislature, that we would not make this data, this mistake again, Mr. Chairman. So my recommendation to the committee would be for you to look at the term may and shall instead of may.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Are there any representative? Yes, Representative Plim, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sort of getting actually at that same point, was there discussion just generally about advisory versus, you know, a different style that essentially isn't advisory? And then my second one is just the piece about the governor selecting the chair versus the board selecting their own chair. Was that even talked about, or is that just standard language?
Representative Plam, members of the committee, there was a fair amount of discussion about advisory versus some other. Because of Mr. Jundeff and Ms. Cahy in particular are unable to be here today, I feel a little at a loss to try and speak for them. But ultimately, this language is what we agreed to. It was not contentious, I can tell you that. There was a comfort level in these various factions having at long last an opportunity to gather around a table and really look at the state hospital and the services it represents in total and set priorities and set direction. And there wasn't really any heartburn, if you will, about advisory versus not. The other part of your question, forgive me, but...
Just if there was any discussion about why the chair would be picked by the governor rather than elected by its membership.
One of the conversations we had every time we got together in one form or another was making sure that this board has a certain gravitas, a certain seriousness, and one of the things that resonated with virtually everybody who was present was having gubernatorial appointment.
Senator Ferriore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just a couple questions that are more logistical and procedural in nature. I see that the agenda was issued November 3rd, and I wondered if that was the first expression to the public that the draft bill would be available for public comment. So there was a two-day notice on this hearing. Is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay.
The agenda was released on the 3rd. I'm filling in for Rick. I'm not sure you can see that the date on the LC is the 31st. That's when it probably got released from, when it got finalized from LC. I'm not actually sure on when we got public possession of it. But I can't provide you with the details on that.
And I guess this is to the chairs. Is the intention then to go into work session today and move the bill as a committee bill as it's drafted?
That is the intention, unless, you know, the group is going to say we didn't have enough notice. It was the intention, being sure to note all the records, all the comments for the record, and make that part of the record so that when it goes into the session, all those comments are also made a part of the beginning record as the bill is presented. So that's what the intention was. Yep.
And Mr. Chair, just a comment that I think some members might not have even been here at our last meeting, and this proposal did come very strongly from the members of this committee with a strong recommendation and request to the administration to come up with something like this. And so, and I think in terms of the scheduling, I think it probably was just that it was very difficult to find a date that didn't, as we got closer to the holidays, didn't start to make difficulties just in terms of our own schedules. So I don't think there was any intent to short-circuit the process.
Oh, and I hope I'm not conveying that. That's my assessment of what happened. What I'm really getting at here is that if we do take action to take the bill as drafted, as a committee bill today, it will be worked in due course, so other, you know, the public will have an opportunity to comment on that.
Right.
But I wonder if it would not be wise for us to take action but leave the record on the bill open for a 10-day period or so.
That's
good. So that when people realize that the draft was taken up by the committee as a committee bill, and we invited the public to testify. I don't know how many members of the public are here to testify. I suspect few. That at least they would have an opportunity to make written comment that would be part of the record that would follow the draft forward into the work of the regular committee that meets. So it would just be I think there's it is normally a procedural issue, normal procedure to leave the public record open for a period after a hearing and work session, is it not? And if it isn't, I would suggest that we do that in this case, because I know there are a lot of advocates that are keenly interested in the development of this proposal.
Well, again, there's no intention here to shut down input. I'd like to get the vehicle in the hopper so it could be pre-session filed and then be worked. I even have some reservations about what's here, and this is not, I assume, this will not be how the bill comes out. I'll assure that. So I don't know if there's a problem with leaving the record open or not. I mean, except that I want to make sure we meet deadlines and make sure I'd like to have the bill pre-session filed so that the opening day of the session we can assign this bill to a committee.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping we can do, so we can start the public hearing process on the bill so the public can start to evaluate this and have input. So so that's the best I can do. Representative Jensen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. You have, as far as membership in the committee, on the board, two members, that's in Section C of 1C, two shall be individuals who are or have been consumers, at least one of whom is a former patient of the Oregon State Hospital located in Salem, Marion County. And I'm not sure, you know, about what is the need or wisdom of that, unless we're thinking of the, you know, as this was put together, unless the thought was about the past tense and the history of the hospital there, but understanding if this goes into statute as it is here, 25 years from now, that may be a completely irrelevant, issue or consideration. And I'm just curious what the thinking was, if you could help me a little bit.
Representative Jensen, members of the committee, the only consideration there was simply to have a voice and a very positive influence on the board of someone who's actually been through the state hospital.
But, of course, that could be any one of several state hospitals. Therefore, the question about having been at the state hospital in Salem.
Yeah.
As the chair has noted, this, regardless of what, is likely to be subjected to modifications or changes as we amendments as we go forward on. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't belabor this point. I think it's clear that the intention here is to submit this as a draft and let everyone have a chance to comment. I would just like to put on the record that my concern about this as currently constructed is that we're forming another cheerleading group for the state hospital, and I think it's not cheerleaders but sincere oversight critics that we're looking for, and I'm a little concerned that the way this is currently constructed, what we're going to end up with is people that are going to come in every legislative session and tell us they need more money for this, this, and this, instead of saying, here are the problems that need to be addressed, and so that's my kind of concern with this construction. These are all issues that I think can be brought out in a legislative session, and I'm supportive of having this submitted because we do need this kind of oversight at the hospital.
Thank you. Senator Carr, please. Your name is down here that you want to speak again. She does not want to speak again.
Mr. Chair.
Other kind, Representative Rosenbaum. Please.
Thank you. Just in response to Representative Berger's comment, I want to make it clear that I think the intent of this is not to have it be, as you put it, a cheerleading group.
Oh, I understand that's not the intent. I'm just concerned that
that it could become,
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, that's what it could become as if we don't have a thorough discussion of what we want.
Right. I think that's
my point.
But I think that the good co-chair and I, when we discussed this, were very clear. He was very clear that he did not want there to be too many people on here, that people needed, everybody on here would have an active role to play, and it would be a working board and very much involved in a critical way. So.
Exactly.
Representative Hannah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The discussions about the bill itself, I think, are very good and clear. My concern really comes more as this has just been an ongoing issue. And I'm reading from a letter that was actually August 9th to Bill Bradbury from the governor. Speaking directly from the Constitution, the governor, as head of the executive branch, is charged with responsibility for the administration of state government. The governor is responsible for the performance and evaluation of state agency directors and programs. And as it relates to this agency and program, September 21st, 2004, a letter from the governor to Gary Weeks talking about the Oregon State Hospital and patient neglect and abuse. October 14th of 2004, a letter from yourself to members of this body saying, we got a problem at the Oregon State Hospital. August of 2007, the governor himself vetoed a bill that would have done very much the same thing, Senate Bill 1039, which would have created a committee to oversee state agency performance specific to this. Followed in January 9th of 2008, the U.S. Department of Justice issue, Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, which found all the deficiencies that this committee and others have discussed. And finally, then, in February of 2008, at your with your good work, this committee being assigned. So it concerns me that, you know, the governor himself, who has responsibility for the agency, vetoed a bill that seems very much similar to this, and I'm concerned that as Representative Berger described, we're creating yet another opportunity for that to come about, and I'm wondering what conversation around the executive branch and what's different about that 1039 and that oversight that this is.
Well, my only response to that is, since you're looking at me, is that and he's left the room. The director of the Department of Human Resources, named Bruce Goldberg, working with the superintendent, helped create this. And to the extent that I'm aware, I believe the director of Human Resources works for the governor. Now, I'm not saying that's a guarantee we get down a road here, Representative Hanna, but I at least like to think that then there is a signal coming that the two of the key administrative players in this business, one the director of Human Resources and the superintendent of the state hospital himself, are trying to work this together, want this, and are trying to put the words together for this, that as we work with them on it, that we will have real strong advocates in the governor's office, if you will. And again, I can't speak for the superintendent or the director, but real strong advocates to make sure that the bill is signed. That's all I can say at this time and date and time and place.
Thank you.
Okay. Other comments, questions, criticism? Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
Just in a comment, Mr. President, to the substance of the bill. I would agree with any analysis that concludes that the charge of the committee is somewhat weak. You know, I sat through the same committee that everybody else sat through, and the idea was that we were looking for 11 members that would hold the legislature accountable, the management at the state hospital accountable, the administrative branch of government accountable, to the extent that we would begin to see compliance with the audit exceptions, which are pretty substantial. And so when I heard the director use the term gravitas, I think that was a specific allusion to the creation of a committee that would function more like a board of directors than an advisory committee. And may, from time to time, is pretty weak language in terms of what I think is expected to meet the minimum requirements of the audit exceptions. I mean, these are federal civil rights violations, and we are sort of under the watchful eye of the auditors, and have, you know, we have a due diligence order to comply. You know, if we don't comply, they'll happily take over, and we'll pay and comply. So I get the impression that the 11 that we were after was more of a board of directors than an advisory board. So I would look to the language of the charge, and I would significantly ratchet up that charge, you know, for frequency. An annual report to the legislature is not what I'd consider to be a gravitas type charge. So to the substance of the bill, I think we need to do a little bit of work on the charge portion.
Thank you. Okay, are there any further comments or questions this time? Thank you, Superintendent.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to have to get off in a couple of minutes.
Okay, Representative Toumaine, do you have any comments or questions? Okay. Thanks for joining us on the phone. Could you excuse yourself? But now I'd like to
Thank
be
you.
Sure, if we haven't gone to public hearing, we're on it now in terms of public input from those in the audience. Michelle Davis, please.
And Gina, Mr. Chair, could I sort of interrupt here? I'll get off the phone in just a minute. But if you need my vote, you can call me back. I've got a meeting here in my office. But if you don't need my vote...
Okay. Okay, I'll let you know. Okay, I can't get the signal right now, so I don't ever take anything for granted in my life. Michelle Davis, Gina Nickel, would you please come forward, please, to testify on the LC 1409, please, 69. Okay. She had signed here. That's the reason that I called her name. Please.
Chair Courtney, committee members, for the record, my name is Gina Nickel. I'm the executive director of the Association of Community Mental Health Programs. We're very much in support of this LC draft. We would like to point out one change we would ask you to consider, and that is to add a community mental health program director. As you know, community mental health programs are the state's partner. We're required to provide front-end and back-end services, subject to availability of funding, of course. But these people have, I think, the intelligence and the programmatic connection with the state hospital. We are responsible financially. We have risk for people going into the state hospital and coming out, and therefore it is our hope that people stay in the state hospital the least amount of time as possible. So we're just suggesting that that might be one omission on the board.
Thank
Questions?
You. Questions, please? Okay, thank you for your testimony. No one else has signed up. Does anyone else wish to come forward and speak to this LC 1469 at this time? Yes, please. Come. Please identify yourself and we'll put you on the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Laura Smith. I represent NAMI Oregon. And NAMI Oregon, of course, just received this legislative concept on Monday, and I have not had time to vet it with the board yet. But on the individual conversations that I have had with some of the members, they're very appreciative of the work that was done here on this legislative concept. We think the membership is it looks correct. And I think we can explore what Senator Farioli was discussing earlier. We've kind of gone back and forth on how much authority this board should have, and we look forward to more discussions around that. But that's not an official endorsement, but just wanted you to kind of know where we're at right now as you guys move forward. So thank you for your work that you've done. We very much appreciate you guys paying attention and hope you will continue on through the session to work with us to solve it. So thank you.
Thank you. Senator Carter, excuse me. Senator Winters, please.
Just thank you, Mr. Chair. Was NAMI not a part of helping to draft the LC?
NAMI's executive, Senator Winters, President Courtney, NAMI's executive director at the time was invited to the first meeting. However, that executive director is no longer with NAMI, so there was a disconnect there. But we have been, I've been in contact with Bob June Deff, and he's been talking to me about the process of as they've been moving forward, and I felt comfortable with that. So.
Okay, thank you. Senator Carter, please.
Mr. Chairman, even though I made some comments a few minutes ago, instead of the word may versus shall, I'm still sticking to that, but I am completely in tune with Representative Berger's comments, and that is that I don't think that this draft should be held up, that we will have the legislative session in January, and we can make those comments then. But I do want to join the chorus in saying that in 1986, we won the federal injunction. It's time for Oregon to learn. The legislature needs to be very strong in that it is willing to have, and I'm just using this term for lack of another word at this moment, a board of governors that we trust, and that we do not, as a citizen legislature, have the opportunity to be have the kind of oversight and express when something is going wrong before it's so wrong that the federal government has to step in. I mean, that's, to me, that's child's play. The federal government shouldn't have to step in on Oregon's business, but they step in because Oregon does not take care of its business. And since we've been under federal injunctions before, why do we have to learn again? And I am for a strong bill that is going to give the community mental health system and other people who have some oversight over this to be able to get back to us before some, that's poor management practice for this to continue to go on. And somewhere along the line, we need to have the kind of oversight where people can say to us, you guys are treading down a road that's going to, number one, get you in trouble with the feds, that's going to, number two, cost you more money than you would pay in terms of prevention rather than if you wait until after the fact. And so somewhere along the line, we need to institutionalize great management practices going to let us know what's going on before it goes on.
Thank you. Is that, yes, Representative Jensen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to say that I think the bill right now is, as some of the others have already, my colleagues have pointed out, is a little weak from, you know, where I think that we need to be and want to be with this. And I appreciate that we're only in the formative stage and that this is a purpose today is to have a committee bill and for it then to work through the process here in the building and therefore our chance to make the changes that we deem are important or necessary. One of the things that obviously, and I deeply appreciate Senator Courtney, your work that you've done as you approach this issue. I have deep appreciation of the time and energy and effort that you put into it. And it goes for many of the members of the committee and their involvement with it too. But in this particular case, it was relatively easy for the legislature with a very strong leadership to have meetings to begin to address the issue, and I think to make some very positive sort of comments and observations about what's going on and what needs to go on. But having been through a couple of these types of things with agencies here, and not nearly as much as perhaps some of you have, but I recall an issue with the Fish and Wild ODF&W when I first came here, and there were problems in the agency, and they had a group, a commission that represented, and quite frankly, it was much more difficult for us as a legislature and for the governor, as far as that goes, to be able to deal with and address that issue because that commission gave something of a security blanket for the ineffective, I guess I should say, operation of the agency. So as we look at this particular issue, I would hope when we get to the actual putting the bill through the process that we consider as a body or bodies very carefully what it is we want this particular group to do and then make sure that that is written in the statute so that that authority is there and so that we are, really got a very tight hold. It's not, we don't want to have the problem in the future as far as the people are concerned who are residents or patients at the hospital. But the other thing we don't want or need, the legislature doesn't want or need, I think, is to, wind up having to be, patching, up the agencies when one of the agencies become dysfunctional. And I fear that with a board or commission or call it whatever we're going to call it, we give, if things go awry, and I'm not making any reflection on the ability or competence or anything of the people in DHS or the new superintendent at the state hospital, but again, 25 years down the road, we don't know who the actors or characters or whatever it is are going to be there. And the institutional memory of this particular committee is going to have, at least with a couple of exceptions, going to have long since gone down the way. And so I think it's a very critical issue we're going to be dealing with in the session. I'm very supportive. I want to move forward with the bill and making it a committee bill. But I'm also anxious for us to give it a very thorough and complete hearing and make sure that it does what the legislature feels that it needs to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Further questions or comments? All right, I will go into a public hearing, go into a work session on the LC 1469. Excuse me, would the co-chair Rosenbaum like to say something?
Mr. Chair, I was going to make a motion, but
I'm waiting.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move that LC draft 1469 be introduced as a committee bill.
The motion is before us. There's discussion on the motion. Is there any objections to the motion? Motion prevails, passes. Is there anything further for the record for the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So I'll defer to Representative Berger, who think, well, I think had her finger in the air before.
Representative
okay.
Berger.
Okay. Just briefly, Mr. Chair, this morning in my email is a letter from a woman in Missouri whose brother is in the state hospital or has been involved in the state hospital. She makes sort of specific charges against his care, and I would simply like to submit it to the committee and ask that the powers that be at the state hospital respond to us with regard to this rather specific.
By all means.
So I will pass it to this administrator, and I don't know if it's in everybody's inbox, but it certainly was in mine.
Senator Ferriore, please.
Mr. Chairman, this might just be my faulty memory or not having been in the hearings process for a period of time, but isn't it customary to keep the public record open for a period of time after a public hearing and solicit additional testimony from the public if they so desire to submit?
You mean we can't go to a work session?
No, the work session stands as it is, but Mr. President, the purpose was for the submission of public testimony, and with a two-day notice, I think it'd be a good thing if we could just keep the record open for a few days.
Co-chair, Ms. Bond, please.
Mr. Chair, I mean, as long as this will not delay the bill being able to move forward, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
That's fine. How much time would you recommend, Senator Early?
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, co-chairs, we wouldn't be able to go to work session on this bill until January, as I understand it. So 10 days couldn't hurt.
Okay. The only reason hesitation you gave for me is we got LC, a lot of requests coming in, and I don't want to get caught up with, I don't know their prioritization, that I want this turned into a bill, so it will be available to be first read on the opening day of the session. Remember how we swear in the morning and then we come back that afternoon work session and we start reading bills? I would like this one to be one of the bills that is first read in a chamber. I'm hoping the Senate chamber, I think we've talked about, you know, that. So it could be first read. That's all I'm trying to reach for here, so that clearly we can get as early a start as possible to do everything that you're talking about here doing. That is to start the public year and work the bill along the lines which have been developed here today. So that's the hesitancy is I don't have anybody here from Legislative Council. I'm more than willing to say let's go with 10 days. I am going to say 10 days. But I just want you to understand that's the dynamic at play here.
Mr. President, the LC is drafted is the one that will get converted into a bill, but public testimony simply would inform the first work session.
Okay, as long as that's, because again, we get into the, I don't know whether the process has to be held up in terms of officially the drafting or not, if we're still waiting for a record to be complete. That's the only thing we're trying to do here.
And thank you. In accord with those comments, the staff informs me that they would compile any comments that were received and present them at the first hearing on the bill.
Other further comments, please. This is our final committee meeting. Thanks for all the great work. And this.
Mr. President, we got you again. Well, we didn't know this was the final meeting. I didn't know this was the final meeting.
So they're going to give you a good cup.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, the final meeting is adjourned.